Will the Treasury Department go a step further?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Good to have you with us this morning as we continue with Fallout, our special coverage of the global financial crisis. Bailouts, rescue packages, rate cuts, and credit markets are still stuck. Today, the New York Times reports the Treasury Department is considering going further and taking ownership stakes in many U.S. banks. Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson is in New York. Jeremy, what's this all about?
Well, Bill, as you know, they have tried everything to restore confidence in the banking system. They have thrown the gold-plated, diamond-encrusted kitchen sink at the banking system. They've injected liquidity. Yesterday, they announced this half-point interest rate cut. And, of course, then the bailout plan to take all those bad assets off the balance sheets of the bank. They've tried to make it as easy as possible for banks to get loans so that they'll start lending to others. Now, according to the New York Times, it appears the Treasury does not feel this has been sufficient, and they need to do something to put some confidence in the banking system. So what's under consideration is to actually take an ownership stake in some of these U.S. banks that are struggling.
This sounds a lot like what we heard from the UK this week.
Absolutely. The British government announced yesterday that it would inject about $44 billion to keep its banking system from collapsing. And, of course, that came the day after the Royal Bank of Scotland, one of the biggest lenders in the UK, saw its share price drop by almost 40%.
So what are the downside risks of taking this action?
Well, there are reports in the Times that there's concern at the Treasury that by taking an ownership stake in certain banks, you could scare investors away, that investors would see that the banks are struggling and pull out themselves. So you could have the opposite effect of what the Treasury would like. And also, of course, taxpayers ultimately would be at risk.
Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you, Jeremy.
Thanks, Bill.
Treasury Secretary Paulson has another big meeting tomorrow as Washington hosts the G7 finance ministers. As Megan Williams tells us, Europe is still hoping for a more coordinated approach to the banking crisis.
Yesterday's rate cut by the world's major banks seems to have had little effect in Europe. The stock markets dipped right after the cut was announced. Later, the head of the European Central Bank said another rate cut wasn't out of the question. Global Insight European economist Howard Archer says it will take more coordinated effort to keep Europe's economies afloat.
I think confidence is so bad, it's going to take a long time to turn round. You know, obviously yesterday's moves were very welcome, and in the long term, I think will help things. But then it's not a magic pill. It's, you know, the problems are still very much there.
Meanwhile, U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson said it's unlikely a global plan will emerge from tomorrow's G7 meeting. Economist Howard Archer said the comments were disappointing. I'm Megan Williams for Marketplace.
America has more company today on its interest rate cuts. South Korea, Hong Kong, and Taiwan lowered their rates, joining the U.S., Europe, and China. That seems to have given some investors reason for hope. Hong Kong and Singapore were up 3% for a change today, but Tokyo and Shanghai were down another 0.5%. London, Frankfurt, and Paris all on the upside so far. The Dow, though, is down at 92.58, its lowest point in 5 years. The Wachovia talks drag on. Citigroup and Wells Fargo are trying to divide up the bank, and the government is anxious to make it happen. But both suitors are said to be concerned about how to value some of Wachovia's more questionable assets. And so the negotiations continue.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, helping America go green. You can calculate your carbon savings at publictransportation.org. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Gather.com, where friends keep up with the people, conversations, and moments that matter most. People are talking about business at Gather.com.
It's time for the next stop in Marketplace's series, Road to Ruin. Our Amy Scott is out on the American road. Today she introduces you to a small business owner she met in Cincinnati who is taking a direct hit from the financial crisis.
Hearing Morton MacArthur list the merits of this 96 Toyota Land Cruiser, you can tell he's a natural salesman.
If you look up on Consumer Reports, these are the ones that they'll say that, you know, if you can afford the gas mileage, it's one of the best vehicles in its class.
MacArthur owns Mort's Imports in Cincinnati. It's a small used car dealership. MacArthur used to work as a finance manager for a large dealer. He was the guy who helped customers get car loans. But he had so many fights with salesmen over customers with bad credit, he took a different approach to his own business.
So when I started this up, I thought, you know, I don't think I'm even going to mess with it. I'm going to direct people to go to their own banks, credit unions, get their financing if they can, fine. But if not, for most of these cars, for $5,000, go to grandma.
The strategy worked great for about 3 years. But then the housing market took a dive. The economy slowed down, and credit from the bank or grandma started drying up. To stay in business, MacArthur hasn't paid himself a salary in months.
I'm losing money paying my advertising and staying in business, and I want to stay in business, and I think used cars are going to do good. But at the moment, very few people that can afford a car are willing to make the decision to part with the money to get one.
MacArthur has one thing going for him. Many dealers have to borrow money to buy the cars they sell. MacArthur doesn't, but he says he's had some friends in the business go belly up because they couldn't keep up with their loan payments. At the end of another day, MacArthur zips up the bag with all his car keys for the night.
And we'll put them back here in the safe.
He's optimistic about the car business. After all, he says, no one's come up with a real alternative to driving.
It's going to eventually come back. All I need to do is just withstand.
He figures he can withstand another 6 months living off his savings. But if the business doesn't come back by then, he'll have to close shop. In Cincinnati, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
How are you dealing with this economic slowdown? Please tell us your story when you visit us at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thank you for tuning in. Enjoy the day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.